Boker Tov. After a brief hiatus, we are back with our study of Masechet Megillah, and today we are beginning the fourth and final chapter of Masechet Megillah. As I mentioned when we began the third chapter, this chapter is, the order is reversed in the Mishnayot and in the Yerushalmi, such that this would be the third chapter, but we are following the order of the Bavli. There is one basic principle that animates the first Mishnah, and that is that any time that an item that has a certain status of sanctity is sold, those funds may not be used to purchase something of lesser sanctity. That really is the gist of the first Mishnah, and then there are many details that follow. The areas that we're going to deal with, which will then lead us to a discussion about the sanctity of a Beit Knesset, of a Beit Midrash, etc., is to present the Beit Knesset and things in the Beit Knesset and the hierarchy of sanctity. So if the city sold the plaza of the city, evidently to an individual, lokhin b'dameha Beit Knesset, you can use that money and buy a Beit Knesset. Beit Knesset, lokhin teva. If you sell a Beit Knesset, you can buy an ark. Teva, lokhin matpechot. You could buy covers for Sifrei Torah. Matpechot, ikhus farin. Now, sfarin here refers to chumashim, which is individual scrolls, scrolls of individual chumashim. Sfarim, lokhin Torah. If you sell sfarim, then you can use that money to buy a Sefer Torah. And now the inverse. Aval imakru Torah lo ikhu sfarim, sfarim lo ikhu matpechot, matpechot lo ikhu teva, teva lo ikhu ben akneset lo ikhu et harachov. And then the Mishnah ends off, v'chein v'motreihen. Now, to be fair, this is not the complete Mishnah. We will see the end of the Mishnah tomorrow. But v'chein v'motreihen means also any leftover monies. Tomorrow we will see what form of leftover monies this refers to. Good. So the first statement of the Gemara, b'nei ha'ir shemachru v'chovah shel ir, this statement itself is not a consensus. The idea that the plaza of the city has any sanctity whatsoever. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zudi Vei Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosei Stum Ta'a. So this is Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosei, who's presented in our Mishnah as the Stam, as the unattributed author. There is no sanctity to the street. It doesn't belong in our Mishnah at all. Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosei by Thomas, so why does he claim that there is? If you recall from Masechet Tanit, in the second chapter, when we get to the more intense fasts, we bring the ark out into the street, etc., and so the street is used for these prayer gatherings. Rabbanana hu akrai ba'alma. The Rabbanan say that's just incidental, and that does not lend any sanctity to the street. Good. Now, Beit HaKnesset lokhin teva. If you have a Beit Knesset, you can buy an ark, or sell a Beit Knesset. Now, we're going to see that selling a Beit Knesset itself is not such a simple matter. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Rachman Rabbi Yonatan Lo Shanu Ela Beit HaKnesset Shel Kfarim. This is only Beit HaKnesset that are in villages, which means they belong to a specific and identifiable community. Beit HaKnesset Shel Krachin, but shuls that are in a city. Kevan Demi Alma Atule Lo Matzu Mezabni Le. Since people come from the outside and they use them to pray, therefore nobody has the right to sell them because they really belong to everyone. So Rashi tells a story. The shul in Matamachsia, which was his town, even though people do come from the outside, because it's a large town, because they're coming because I'm there, I'm the rabbi, and because they come for me, I could sell it, because it's really within my purview. They're coming to Ravashi's shul, as it were. So, Meitave, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maaseh Beit HaKnesset Shel Tursim, Shayab Yerushalayim, Shemachrua Al Rabbi Eliezer. There's a story about a particular Beit Knesset belonging to members of a guild that were in Yerushalayim, and they sold it to Rabbi Eliezer, Vasaba Kol Tzarchav, and he used it for his own house, he used it for whatever he wanted to. Which means that you see that a city Beit Knesset can be sold, and when it's sold, the building loses its sanctity. Vatam Dikrachim Have. So the answer is, Ahed b'kinishta zutehavit. That was a small, kind of private Beit Knesset. V'inhu avdua. These tursim made the Beit Knesset. It was for themselves. Nobody else came there, and then they were able to sell it. Now, this leads us to a very interesting tangent, which is the status of Yerushalayim vis-a-vis renting houses. Meitavei, Bevet Eretz Achuzatchem. This is the Pasuk, which is verse number 1 on the page. Pasuk in Parshat Metzora, talking about Nigae Batim, which is Tzarat of houses. Bevet Eretz Achuzatchem, what does the Brayta say? Achuzatchem mitama b'negayim, v'enu shalai mitama b'negayim. It's only your holdings, meaning land which belongs to you, meaning in the Beit Shan, Afula, wherever it might be, that where the houses could have Negaim, but not Yerushalayim. Meaning Yerushalayim is not something that's given to the people. It doesn't belong to the people. Amar Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Ani lo shamati ala makom mikdash bilvad. He said, the only place that I heard where there's no Negaim is the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, any house in Yerushalayim would be valid. So, how can you say that shuls and batei midrash in Yerushalayim are mitameh? After all, they don't belong to you, because we just started through saying that anything that's in a large city belongs to the public. So, what did Rabbi Yehuda mean? Not makom mikdash, the place of the Beit HaMikdash, but rather makom mikudash, a sanctified place, meaning a place for public gatherings. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that Yerushalayim itself as a city belongs to the residents, just like any other city. But the sanctified places in Yerushalayim, and by the way, the sanctified places anywhere, if they're in a city, do not belong to the individuals, do not belong to the town, they belong sort of to the worldwide community of Jews. And as such, they aren't under the class of Beit Eretz Achuzatchem, and are not subject to the laws of Nigei Batim. Now let's see what the dispute is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Chachamim who said, nowhere in Yerushalayim is there a possibility of Nigei Batim. It's a very simple machloket. Is the city of Yerushalayim divided among the tribes, such that Yehuda or Binyamin own part of it? Or is Yerushalayim, if you will, like a district of Columbia, Lahavdil, like the Vatican, a separate separate national district which does not belong to the Shvatim? V'pluta d'hani tana, it's the same machloket as these tana'im. The tanya, ma ya'achel b'chalko shel Yehuda, so the Yerushalayim was divided between Yehuda and Binyamin. What was in Yehuda's section? Har habayit al hashachot v'azarot. So Yehuda had the Temple Mount, and all of the offices in the courtyards in the Makom HaMikdash. Ma ya b'chalko shel Binyamin, what did Binyamin have? Ulam v'echal uveit kodesh ha'kodoshim, the building itself. There was a little strip of Yehuda territory that went into Binyamin's. So the altar, which is in front between the, which is in front of the ulam, belonged to Yehuda. Binyamin every day, this is agadic, wanted to swallow it up and take it back into his own territory. In verse 2, which is Moshe's bracha to Binyamin, says the Shechinah rests over Binyamin, but in this sense, saying Binyamin is looming over the place of the Mizbeach, trying to swallow it. That's why Binyamin became the resting place for the Shechinah. In other words, he had such a great desire to have the Shechinah rest in his place. So in other words, the first Tana that we just read with all detail and Yehuda and Binyamin dividing it up, so all of Yerushalayim is divided among the Shvatim. You're not allowed to rent houses out in Yerushalayim because they don't belong to you. Even beds you can't. Therefore, when somebody comes and brings a korban, the skins of the korban are taken by the people who give them lodging. Because when you come to Yerushalayim and bring a korban, you have to stay overnight. But nobody can charge you rent according to this Tana. So therefore, the land, the house owners who let you stay there, in recompense for letting you stay there, they take the skins, the pelts. Amar Abaye, Shramina, Orachara, Lemishpak, Inash, Gulfa, Umashcha, Biushbize. So Abaye says a little lesson here, that it's a good idea to leave something over from the gift that you brought. You came to Yerushalayim, so leave something over, a jar, a pelt, something. Amar Rava, lo shanu ela shalom achu. Now we go back to our Mishnah, and he says, Amar Rava, lo shanu ela shalom achru shivatu ve'ayir mamad an shayir. If the seven members of the city council, which was the norm in the times of the Mishnah, sold the Beit Knesset in the presence of the town, meaning the townsfolk came out and they sold, made a public sale. You can use it for anything. In other words, the building now loses its Kedusha and the money does not maintain Kedusha. So Ravina had a small hill where there used to be a Beit Knesset. Ata the Kamei Ravashi, Marley Ma'ul the Mizra. He said, "Can I plant it?" Marley Zil Zvanim Yeshiva Atuva Yirma Mamad Anshei Ha'ir Uzra'a. He said, and Ravashi said, "Go buy it officially from the city council in the presence of everyone, and then you can plant it." And he did. Rabbi Ami Ra'aba Havi Kabani Beit Knesset. He was building a Beit Knesset. Havi Ahi Knishta Atika. There was an old Beit Knesset that was not being used anymore. Havi Ba'il the Mistere V'Latuya Limnei Pshuri Mina. He wanted to tear it down and take the bricks and the beams from the old Beit Knesset and use it for the new one. So he asked the question, famous statement of Rav Chista and Rav Batra, Had Rav Chista, lo listo Beit Knesset ad boni Beit Knesset achrita. You're not allowed to tear down a Beit Knesset until you built a new one. So he said, Hatam mishum pshuta. There the concern is that you might not build a new one and then you'll have no Beit Knesset. Ki hai gav namai. But here where I'm already in the process of building a Beit Knesset, and there's another one that's a ruin. Can I take the old materials and use them? I'll think of our Papa Vasalei, the Kamar of Huna Vasalei. Came before two Amoraim, and they both prohibited it. Amarava, hai Beit Knesset, chilufa v'zabuna shari. So Rava said, when you have a Beit Knesset, to swap it or to sell it is mutter, ogura umashkuna asur. But to rent it out or to use it as collateral is prohibited. My time, abigushatakai, because if you do either of the latter activities, it maintains its sanctity, and then somebody is using it improperly, they're violating the sanctity of Beit Knesset. Livni nami. So this goes to explain the previous statement. The same thing is true about bricks. Chalufinu v'zabuninu shari. To swap them or to sell them where they then lose their kedusha is fine. Uzufinu also, but to lend on them and to use them as collateral, that you can't do. So hanimili batikta. That's only, you know, if it's a Beit Knesset that, let's say, has been ruined. Aval b'chadta, meaning a Beit Knesset that hasn't yet been built, and these bricks and building materials were set aside for it. Late lanba, that's fine. Filuman damar hazmana milti. We have machloket, the courses through Shas about hazmana, which means if I designate a building for something, or I designate materials to use them to build for something, do they already have the status of that that building as it was already has already been used? So even according to the opinion, it says hazmana miltahi, that designating something already gives it the status as if it was already used for that purpose, which means these bricks would already be considered part of a Beit Knesset. Hanimili gona oreg begin lamet. When is hazmana miltahi? That's when, for instance, you weave a shroud for a mate. So once you've already woven it, even though it was not put on the mate, it's still asur b'hana'a as any other use of a mate. Aval hacha, and here kitzvila arigdami. Here it's parallel to having woven the strands for weaving the garment, which is certainly not hazmana. Valeka lamanda amar. Nobody would say that bricks that were set aside to build a Beit Knesset already have kedusha peda knesset. Now, matana. What about giving a Beit Knesset as a matana? Pigma v'achav ravina. Chad asar v'chad shari. So they disagree. Manda asar why? B'hai tifka kedusha ta. The one who prohibits says, what is going to take away the Kedusha? What is going to then allow it to be used for profane or mundane purposes? Mandashari says, Ilav dahave lehanamine, and the one who permits, we don't know which one permitted, but the one who permits says, if it weren't for the fact that you were getting some personal benefit from the gift, lohave yayivle, in other words, I, the giver, am getting benefit from the fact that you're receiving it, that's the premise of a gift, therefore, therefore, the gift is like a sale. Just like when you sell something, you're getting money in response, and that money is what takes the Beit Knesset out of its Kedusha. The same thing with a gift. Good. The last piece we're going to look at today is about Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. I would preface it with an explanation, but the Gemara will do that for us. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a famous Braita, Tashmishei Mitzvah Nizrakin, Tashmishei Kedusha Nignazin. So things that are used for a mitzvah, objects which are used for the fulfillment of a mitzvah, once you don't need them anymore, you can throw them away. However, things that have a purpose around Kedusha must be buried. They can't be thrown away. Now, what are they? These are all objects which have no inherent sanctity, but are used for fulfillment of a mitzvah, when you're done, you can throw them away. We generally have the custom of discarding them in a more respectful manner. Ve'elu ein tashrishei kedushah. What are tashrishei kedushah? Tulus kamei sfarim. Holders for sfarim. Tfilin u'mezuzot. Right, so the bag in which you keep your tefillin, the cover of a mezuzah, which the mezuzah is in other words, anything that protects something of sanctity. What is sanctity? Sanctity is anything that is driven by the presence of God's name. So Sefer Torah, tefillin u'mezuzah. V'tikshol Sefer Torah. Good. V'natikshol tefillin u'tzuroten. And the straps of tefillin also, as well as the bag. Amarava mereshav emin ahai kur sayat tashmish to tashmishu. Rava said, I originally thought that the bag around the tefillin was a sort of second level tashmish, right? Because, with the Sefer Torah, right? Because you don't put the Sefer Torah directly in it. Evidently, they would put a Sefer Torah inside a cover, and that cover inside another cover. He said, I thought that second cover was a tashmish to tashmish, and therefore could be thrown away. Right, Vashari, Kevin the Chazina, the Motvi, Lave Sefer Torah, but evidently they use it also to put a Sefer Torah on when they're reading from it, the Vasur. Tashmish to Kedushahu, I realize it's Tashmish to Kedushah, Vasur. In other words, it has direct connection with the essence of the Kedushah. Vyamaravam, Reshavam, in a high Prisa Tashmish to Tashmishu. He said, I originally thought that, either you had a inside the Arona Kodak, to take it and to turn it into, let's say, a stand, right, that you would put a Sefer Torah on, that's Asur, because that's lowering Kedushah, the same principle as our Mishnah. Now, Amarava, high Prisa Devala, if you have a curtain that is worn away, let me have the Prisa L'Sifrei Shari. So to take it and use it as a cover for Sifrei Torah, that's fine, the Chumashin Asur. But to use it as a cover for chumashin, remember we talked about the scrolls that have individual chumashin, which cannot be used for the public reading, that is asur, they are less in kedushah. V'yamarava, hani zavile de chumashi, the kamatra de sifrei. He says so the boxes that they keep the chumashim in, and the bags that they keep the sifrei Torah in, tashmish kedushaninu, v'nignazin. And they have to be buried. They can't be thrown away. So when they're no longer usable, pshita, it's obvious. Ma'u tei mani lav v'chovar avinan. The Torah ba'al mi avinan. No, you could argue that these are not, have nothing to do with the respect or the reverence for the Sefer Torah, but rather they have to do with just protecting it. Kamash malan, and kamash malan here seems to be the protection is also tashmish kedusha. And now we hear a story about a Beit Knesset that was in Bavel of Jews who had left from Rome. Ahu beknishta b'romoi. It's diromoi, it should be. The have patiach lo idrona. It was opened up into a certain hall. The have machit be mate. There was a mate there. Ravabai kohanim, the male utzliyatim. The kohanim wanted to go in. Problem is that the Beit Knesset opened up into this hall, and so the entire place was the tuma entered into the entire place, and the kohanim couldn't go in. Atu amrle the rabba. So they asked rabba what to do. Ludalu tevuta. Take the teva, which was heavy. Utvua and move it to block off the door. To have the kli etz asui lanachet, because since the teva is a kli etz asui lanachet, meaning a wooden vessel that's used to just sit in one place, kli etz asui lanachet don't mekabel tuma v'chotzetz v'fnei tuma. Such a vessel does not receive tuma and it can block off tuma, and therefore you put that in front. And by the way, the point of this is to say that you're allowed to use the teva for such a purpose and move it around. So Amru le Rabbanan the Rava, so the Rabbanan said to him, V'hazimni the Ratatulei kimon ha-Sefer Torah ilavei. He says, no, sometimes we do move it around when the Sefer Torah is on top of it. And now it's a vessel which is carried sometimes with something in it, sometimes empty. So then such a thing is makabel to him. He says, the Yachil Lo'afshar, he said, you're right, then there's no solution for the Kohani. Amarzutra ma'pechot sfarim shebalu osinotan tzichichon the mitzvah. So Marzutra, continuing on with sort of alternative uses for these things, he says, if you have the covers of Sifrei Torah that are no longer usable, you can use them as a material for the shroud for a mate mitzvah. V'zui gnizatan, and that's the best way to bury them. V'yamarav ha-Sefer Torah shebala, gunzino to etzel tamin chacham. If the Sefer Torah has gone withered or worn out and can't be used anymore, it's buried next to a tamin chacham. Afilo shona halachot. Give me a Talmud Chacham, even somebody who's a master of Mishnah. Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov v'chli cheres. And by the way, Chidid put, not the Talmud Chacham is not put, but the Sefer Torah is put into a ceramic pot. And Amar, and the Pasuk from Yumiyahu, Tatem v'chli cheres l'man yamdu yamim rabim. He tells everyone to write their documents on the land to put into pottery so that they will last a long time. We, of course, saw evidence of that in the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls of how long pottery can maintain documents. Okay, and this is the last discussion we'll have today. Is there an interesting one, which is the question of which has the greater sanctity, a Beit Knesset or Beit Midrash? Beit Midrash being Beit Rabbanan. So in this version of Rava said that you can go from a Beit Knesset to a Beit Midrash, meaning that's a move up. Rabbanu Beit Knesset Aser. Rav Papa Mishmei Durava, Matni Ibcha, you have the opposite. That you can go to a Beit Knesset. Amravah, that means that you could sell a Beit Midrash and use it to buy a Beit Knesset, or take a place that is a Beit Knesset and move it into a Beit Midrash. Amrav Acha Kavate Durav Papi Mistabra. The first approach, the first version of Rava saying makes more sense. Do you remember Shuban Levi, Beit HaKnesset, Mutala Soto Beit HaMidrash? So Shuban Levi said that exact thing. You could turn a Beit HaKnesset into a Beit Midrash. Shma Mina. So now let's see. The Ashbar Kapper might have to be a sofa Beit Adonai, Beit HaMelech, and Kol Batei Yerushalayim, and Kol Beit Gadol Saraf Ba'esh. The description of Nebuchadnezzar at the very end of Malachim Bet, when Nebuchadnezzar comes in and conquers the city, it says that he burned the house of God, that's the Beit HaMikdash, and the palace, and all the houses of Yerushalayim, and Beit Gadol. What's that? Beit HaShem is a Beit HaMikdash. It's Beit HaMelech, the Palatrin Shemelech, it's the palace. Kol Batei Yerushalayim, Kamash Ma'an, the house of Yerushalayim. Kol Beit Gadol Saraf Ba'esh, and Yochum Shuban Levi. What does it mean, Beit Gadol? Either the place where they raise up Tefillah or where they raise up Torah. You know, it's Beit Midrash or Beit Knesset. See, Torah is Yagdil. This is when the king asks Gehazi to tell him all the stories that Elisha did. Hagdolot asher asa Elisha. His big things he did, b'tfilah. So tfilah is big. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua, and Levi, one of them said the Beit Knesset was the Beit Gadol, one of them said the Beit Midrash is the Beit Gadol. So Tistan, Rabbi Shua, Levi, Udamar, Makom, Shua, Gadlin, Torah. It should be that Rabbi Shua, Levi was the one, since we don't know who said what, Shua, Levi is the one who said the Beit Midrash is the Beit Gadol. Because he said, you could take a Beit Knesset and turn it into a Beit Midrash. So there you see that that's his opinion. That seems to be the halakha, as we seem to accept the first version of Rava in the name of Rav Papi, that Rav Papi quoted Rava, saying that you could turn a Beit Knesset into a Beit Midrash, but not the opposite. Mirat Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from this point, and we'll get to the next Mishnah and do several other passages until we get to the Mishnah and Daf Chafchet Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.